Take your Bibles, if you would, Job chapter 2, and we are going to cover about, two or three verses here, it's about five, actually, but we'll get there. But Job chapter 2, if you find your place there, and I think this subject will help you. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, here we are in Job chapter 2. I'm just going to read verses... I'll start in verse 1. 1 through 10, I'll read these for us as it does all pertain as we begin tonight. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job sore with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." As we take a look here, and by the way, next week we're going to be introduced to the three friends, and that's going to be interesting as well, but I want you to take a look at something here, and don't forget, we've already talked about Satan, and we've talked about Job last week retaining his integrity. We just read about how God said to him, to Satan rather, that he holdeth fast his integrity. And by the way, I explained that word to you last week, and it does mean unbroken. It means not destroyed. In other words, it's still complete. He's still complete. What was one of the things that God said about him? He is a perfect and upright man. That word perfect, we know, means complete. Okay, so he's still complete. And his wife now, of course, that was after the first round that was said. As the second round of afflictions come, now personally attacking Job, Job's wife gives a testimony and says, "Are you still going to retain your integrity? Job, are you going to remain complete before God, unbroken before God? Are you still going to be able to do that?" And she questions that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to understand that this man stays complete. And we can stay complete in our trials and tribulations that come against us. Now, as we look here, once again, just like before, Satan answers the Lord when this commentary about Job is made. And Satan says to God, "God, if you hurt him, he will curse you." Okay, that's the broad term of it. And God says, and I want you to understand this, "Go ahead and you hurt him." Okay, did you notice that before? God didn't take away all of Job's stuff. God allowed Satan to do that. God didn't want to do that to Job. You say, how do you know that? Well, he just told us here in chapter 2. He says to Satan, he said, to destroy him without cause. And he says, Satan, because of your comments, and because I'm going to prove to you that your comments are false, you've moved me against a man who doesn't deserve to be moved against. And again, Satan, he does this because he hates God and he hates us. The devil doesn't want you to succeed. I was just talking with someone recently, and we were talking about how the things that Satan puts in or does in our lives, and that God allows Satan to do in our lives, aren't always bad things. The devil has many devices, folks. And sometimes Satan uses a good thing to get you off track. He doesn't care what it is as long as it gets you off track. Because he wants to go present himself before God, and he wants, when God says, hey, have you considered my servant Eric? Have you considered my servant whoever? I don't want to start calling each one of you out by name, because then if something bad happens, you say, Pastor, you shouldn't have used me as an example. I don't want to be that guy, okay? But and then when we do stumble and fall, or we don't retain our integrity, he's like, see? They really didn't love you. They really didn't. I wouldn't want that to happen. And I don't want that to happen to you. But he doesn't give up. He continues to go. And by the way, who failed and who was wrong? Satan. Did you notice there he didn't even admit to his failure? Not at all. Listen, what was it that in the simplest of terms, what was it that got Satan in trouble in the first place? His pride. Boy, it's on full display here. Someone who's full of pride sidesteps the faults. Right? And they just kind of step aside, and what do? They lay into somebody else, or they go after somebody else to supplement for that. So you understand, Satan is dodging the issue about his own defeat, and he says, oh, well, you know, if you touch his body, you know, because, hey, who's our favorite person? Yeah, ourself, right? Or, if you will, some of us are three favorite people. Are me, myself, and I, right? But, you know, I can endure losing some things, but you know what? To lose my health now we're getting personal. And I want you to understand, Satan doesn't give up, he digs in. That's why I caution about things like the bus song, you know, I told you about that, you know, down by the river, we can beat the devil any old time. Don't rah-rah about that. Because he doesn't, if he fails the first time in trying to get you to fall, he's not going to just give up and say, okay, well. You know, think about this. God issues a challenge, if you will. Satan accepts the challenge, goes and fails. By the way, God knew he was going to, right? And he comes back. It says again, these individuals come before God, and Satan comes again amongst them. And instead of saying, you know what, God, yep, you're right. He didn't curse you. He stayed complete. He retained his integrity. He holdeth fast his integrity. I was wrong. I'm just going to go back wandering to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. No, he doesn't admit any of that. He doesn't give it. He doesn't even give any acknowledgement to the fact that Job retained his integrity. He immediately went right back at him and said, God, if you touch his life, he'll curse you. I mean, he doesn't even hesitate. He doesn't even think about it. He knows exactly what he's going to do. By the way, how much you want to bet that as soon as Job did do what Satan said he would do, he was already formulating what he was going to do next. Folks, he is tenacious. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's actively looking. That's what seeking means. He's not, there's no stop to him. It's if I can't get you this way, I'm going to swing around and come and get you at this direction. And if I can't get you there, I'm going to come up from the bottom. And if I can't get you from there, I'm going to come down from the top. That's why the Bible says walk circumspectly. We've got to be aware. Everywhere. Because that's what he does. Now, once again, and again, I'm not going to ever pretend to know why God even allowed any of this to happen in the first place. But he did. And he allows Satan once again to afflict Job. Look at verse 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So, how many of you have ever had a boil before? Yeah. They are very, very unpleasant. Is that enough to say? Extremely unpleasant. Okay? Now, if you would imagine having boils everywhere. Literally. From the bottom of your feet all the way to the top of your head. No, thank you. I don't even want to imagine that. I mean, my mind is, I don't know how I live with it. Any of you ever think about what it would be like to experience something? Do your brains go through that process? Like, I don't know, for some random reason, I'll just maybe be sitting somewhere and I'll think about something and I'm like, I just get that shiver, that little twinge. Because I just thought about, you know, cutting my hand off with a saw or something like that, you know. You ever think about weird things like that? And you're just like, ooh, ooh. You get that shake, you know, that shiver. Am I nuts? Am I the only one that does that? No? Everybody else did that too? Okay, good. I was worried for a moment there. But, you know, I mean, this is making you shiver. I mean, especially those of you that have had boils, right? I mean, you probably just got that full body shiver just now, right? Thinking what it would be like to have boils from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Okay? Now, these sore boils were unique, if you will. These were things that were very painful. They were just excruciating. It was the most intense suffering that a human can go through and not die. Because what was the challenge? You can touch him. Can't kill him. So the devil comes up with the very worst thing that won't kill him. But boy, it can come close. And folks, he doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't hold back. He is trying to get you to crack under the pressure. God knew that Job would not crack. So he allowed this to happen. Now, I have to help us to remember. I'll get back to this in a second. But I have to help us to remember that God is going to protect us. By the way, you say, well, how is he protecting Job? He didn't let Satan take his life. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 10:13 is true. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Okay? Was God still faithful to Job? Yes, he was. So God is faithful. He says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Folks, this is a foundational thing that we have to remember. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Okay? So, what was Job's escape here in this particular circumstance? His escape was a broken piece of pottery and a pile of ashes. He'd take those boils and he'd scrape them out. Right? And those ashes would help soothe. And that's what he was doing. You say, that's relief? Yeah, somewhat. But it didn't have to be complete relief. It was just so that he could bear it. He was able to bear the difficulty. Now, Satan wants to sift us as wheat. He wants to devour us as a lion would devour its prey. He wants to destroy us. He's the destroyer. He's going to do everything he can to get at us. He's also going to do everything he can to divide us. So not only does he take away his wealth, take away his children, take away his health, now he's trying to meddle in the husband-wife relationship. Now, I told you last week that I was going to talk about Mrs. Job, and I do have a few minutes here, so I'm going to do that. So he does this. He sits down among the ashes. He's there with the potsherd. He's getting somewhat of a relief from his difficulty. By the way, we know by her next statement that he is retaining his integrity. And she says this. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, I was talking with someone this week, and I've read through many, many commentaries about this. Almost everybody that I could find reading after, think of Mrs. Job as a failure. And they think of her as giving up on God and quitting on God and you know, just someone who's scorning and someone who's you know, being used as a device of the devil to make Job crack under the pressure, et cetera, et cetera. That may be true, although I have a little bit of a different viewpoint of it, I think. If you think about what happened to this woman in the last moments of time, I don't know how long it was. You know, and again, this is no fault of anyone. And I know not all men are the same, and I know not all women are the same. And I know that some may be stronger than others, etc., on both sides of it. But there's a Bible fact that men have been made and created by God as men with our characteristics and our traits. And women have been created by God on purpose with their characteristics and their traits. It's one thing for Job to go through all of this and retain his integrity. But it's something completely different for Mrs. Job to go through all this and retain hers. It's different and difficult. Ladies, you all know what I mean. Listen, I love all of my children and I would hate to lose any one of them. But you know, it's different for me as a father to go through that than it would be for her to go through that. It's just different. And by the way, it's supposed to be different. Different's good, okay? But it would be way different. Now imagine losing all of them and what that would do to Mrs. Job. And here's the thing. This is why I go through this, and this is where we're going to kind of wrap this up tonight, and this is the thought that I want you to take with you. I don't know, and I'm not convinced that she was questioning her husband or questioning God. How about this for a thought? And this is my opinion, okay? I'm stepping out on my own here as far as what I'm read. How about this? How about Mr. and Mrs. Job were great people? How about Mr. and Mrs. Job were good Christians? How about Mr. and Mrs. Job were in this together? And how about Mrs. Job was at the end of her rope and was literally looking at her husband, who was just a shell of himself because of all that he had gone through and the sickness that he is going through right now. And maybe instead of thinking that she was scoffing or thinking that she was, you know, just, maybe she was looking to her beloved husband and saying, how do we get through this? Dear husband, whom I love and who's a part of my life, how is it that you are retaining your integrity? I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. But you know, the Bible says we're supposed to leave and cleave, right? We're supposed to become one flesh. Job got up every morning and gave the sacrifices. And how do you know Mrs. Job wasn't there? I mean, how do we know she wasn't part of this? By the way, when I share this, that we're talking about Job, one person I was talking to recently, they said, that all that happened to him, and even his wife left him. The Bible doesn't even say that. And religious people make that up. Just because she said, how do you retain your integrity and curse God and die, doesn't mean she divorced him. Because, by the way, if you read the end, she has some more children. As far as we know, it doesn't say he had another wife. It didn't say he got a new wife. It just says he got new children. I'll let you put that together, okay? I don't know if you've ever thought it that way. I actually thought, now, all the scholars, they could be right. But listen, I've always read this and I thought, man, this woman gets so much grief. Maybe she wasn't questioning God, and maybe she wasn't questioning her husband. Maybe she was trying to get some answers of, honey, how do you get through this? How do you retain your integrity? Why aren't you cursing God and just giving up and dying? How is it you can maintain? Now, by the way, I think what kind of makes me think about this is the answer that Job gives to his wife. Because listen, in Ephesians 5, 1 Peter 3, it talks about the relationships of husband and wife. And if wives are supposed to be in subjection to their husband and these things, and there's supposed to be a relationship. And so she asks him a question. She gives a comment. By the way, I think it was out of frustration. But also she asked him a question. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, and by the way, he wasn't mean to her. But he does say, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. So I'm going to put this in the Eric Combs brain translator. And to me, it's like, honey, we're Christians. You know better than that. We don't talk that way. We don't think about our God that way. Well, you're speaking as one of the lost people. You're speaking as one of the foolish people. We love God. God has given us everything. He gave us our children. He gave us the riches, the wealth, the fame, the power, whatever that we have. Honey, why are you even talking like this? That's the Eric Combs brain translator speaking there, okay? Because then he explains, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, I think he was trying to give her a reminder of something she already knew. Again, this is my opinion. So take it or leave it. You can think I'm completely out of my mind, which I probably am. But that's how I kind of see it. So what I want to encourage you with is as you go through these trials and these temptations, these difficulties, we've got to rely on one another. And sometimes maybe a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad to a child or you know, whatever it might be, or a brother and sister in Christ to a fellow family member of Christ, body of Christ, maybe we need to help someone retain their integrity. Maybe we need to explain the hard things and say to someone, you're speaking as one of the foolish women speak. You know, should we not receive good and evil? I mean, I think he was trying to help her. I think he loved this woman. I think he wanted her to understand. And by the way, I think he understood the grief she was going through. And by the way, even after all these friends come through, and like I said, if you go back and read the end of the passage, she's still there. And they rebuild their lives together with the grace of God. I think it worked. I think his little challenge to her made her stick around. And that sometimes that's what we need to do. You know, the Bible tells us, As husbands, to give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's what he says. And so I think I don't know why God would give us a story that goes against the principles and the ideas in Scripture that he gives to us about husbands and wives. And if Job was so great, perfect, upright, complete, right, fearing God, eschewing evil, why would it indicate anything about him having a bad relationship with his wife? I just don't think it would. I think that she had reached her limit and she was relying upon her husband to help her get through it. And they got through it together. I don't know, just a thought. But how about we just go ahead and grab hold of that thought. Husbands, help your wives. Wives, help your husbands. Children, help your parents. Parents, help your children. Church family, help one another. Because guess what? You may not be going through this time, or you may be going through this time. Wouldn't it be nice to have someone to help you? Or you may be at the end of your rope, and you may feel like Mrs. Job felt. And again, we're going to pretend that my translator is right. In my head, my translator in my head. Okay, I'm not questioning the Bible, by the way. Because it doesn't give us an indication of what it might be. But maybe somebody's looking at you saying, how do I get through this circumstance? How did you get through that circumstance? How is it that you didn't curse God? How is it that you went on, I need help, I'm grasping for straws here. Just to make it through. By the way, these two people, up until this point, they're by themselves through this circumstance. Mrs. Job didn't have anybody else to turn to. And the one that she trusted for strength and stability was sitting in a pile of ashes, scraping himself of boils. Tough. Tough circumstance. But yet Job did not sin with his lips. By the way, I think Job helped his wife too by asking her those questions, by presenting that case so they could make it through the difficult times.